Live
and local
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Great Pottery Throwdown. Very popular show this is, and perfect viewing for lockdown, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I think lots more people are watching it this year, especially as they've got nowhere to go.
And have you always been interested in pottery ceramics? Is that how, you know, has this been a long-standing thing for you?
No, so I actually started doing ceramics about 2 years ago. I got gifted a course for a Christmas present. So I took a week off work when I was working in consulting, and then I just got really obsessed with it. So I was practicing all the time. And now I've got a little brand called Supper Ceramics, supper like dinner. So I sell my stuff online. I have a website and an Instagram. And then last year I went on the show and we filmed it in August time. And here we are, yeah.
And so 2 years, you've only been doing this for 2 years. So to get accepted on the show, what a great thing.
Yeah, it was mad because everyone else on the show, we all have varying amounts of experience, but I am the least experienced person, and it was just such an incredible experience to be around all the other potters, and you know, we're all sharing tips and tricks, and everyone kind of does something slightly different, so there's so much to learn.
And what beautiful work you do, Shen Yu. And you were saying that you filmed it during the pandemic, so well, it was sort of in between lockdowns, but how did that work? Were you bubble? Did you live together?
Yeah. So normally, I think how they normally film it is they'll film 3 days and then everyone will go home for 3 days or so. But this year, we were just all in a bubble the whole time, which was lovely, but also very intense. But that obviously made it much safer because we got tested every 4 days. And then all the potters would live together and we'd have all of our meals together and just hang out all the time.
My goodness, so you all live together, so you did need to get on, given that you're in a competition with each other as well.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really feel like that much of a competition, only in the sense that, you know, we, at the end of the day, someone had to leave every week and someone would get pot of the week every week. But otherwise, we were just all sharing tips and tricks and, you know, helping each other practice. So it wasn't a competitive environment in that way. I think that's the thing with potters, they're always just very helpful and keen to share their tricks.
It does feel that way. There does feel a really nice atmosphere between the potters, and when one of you has to leave, you can see that the rest of you are quite upset.
Yeah, it's horrible. I don't know if you noticed, but in last week's episode, when I was giving the exit interview, when they say, oh, you got potter of the week, the whole time I'd be like, no, I'm so sad, it's so bittersweet, you know. So I think the clip of me at the end, I didn't seem that ecstatic to win because I was just so sad that Susan was leaving.
Oh, and I want to talk to you about a few of the people on the show, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Keith? He gets emotional. I mean, don't get me wrong, Shen Yu, I like a pot, but I mean, he gets very emotional, doesn't he? Do you understand that? Have you ever cried at a pot?
No, I haven't, but... So my boyfriend and I used to watch the show the year before, and he's not into pottery at all, but the only reason that he would watch it was to see if Keith would cry or not. And he would find it really amusing and he would laugh. So every time Keith cried on the show, I would have to try and stop myself from laughing because of just the prior association. He's a very interesting guy and he's obviously very passionate about pottery, so I think that's why.
So do you understand where those tears are coming from?
I'm not sure I understand, but at the same time, I quite appreciate when a man is in touch with their emotional side and not afraid to show it. So I don't know if I understand completely, but I like it.
And he seems he's such a great guy, isn't he? And can I talk to you also about Alon?
Because yes, Alon.
He's out there, isn't he? I mean, you had to make a fruit bowl last week, and you made such a beautiful bowl. And he always does something different, doesn't it? I mean, this week it was like it was balanced on skis, and
I absolutely love Alon. I know he's kind of divided the public and the Twitter sphere, but Alon is definitely one of the potters that I'm closest to. We talk a lot and we bounce ideas off each other. And I just love his vision and his creativity. And I think he always pushes to be outside of the box. And I think that's something to be admired rather than, you know, be told off for kind of not sticking exactly to the rules or anything. I think he's really inspirational.
Yeah, because you can see the judges sort of raising their eyebrow and thinking, just do a fruit bowl. But what he does is so creative and imaginative.
Yeah, he's incredible. And I think if it had, you know, I think the Throwdown is slightly more of a craft show than an art show. And I think had it been an art show, the judges on that would have appreciated his makes a little bit more.
And Siobhan, we love Siobhan in our house.
Siobhan.
What is it like being interviewed when you're in the middle of a process of making things? Because, you know, it must be quite tricky. You're focused and you're on a strict time thing, and then somebody comes along and wants to chat.
Yeah, absolutely. You're always kind of conflicted because the production say, you know, carry on working and just try and get your stuff done. But then at the same time, they want to get a good story as well. So it is hard to balance it all. But Siobhan makes it really fun. She kind of, you know, we'll pick up some of your bits and throw them around and tell you to hurry up, so it kind of lightens the mood.
And you were in Cambridge, you studied in Cambridge, and Cambridge has provided the inspiration for some of your work as well, the piece you did of Emmanuel.
Yeah, in week two I made kind of a version of Emmanuel College. It's the chapel in front court, but I kind of reimagined it as if it were a building as opposed to a long chapel, so it would have more windows, because the brief was to create a building with light, a light inside it so that the light would shine through. I really love that building, and I think it's quite iconic as soon as you walk into the gates of Emmanuel. So when I came to the Cambridge Open Day, I think when I was 17 or 18, I walked around all the colleges and I didn't know which one I wanted to apply to. And then at the end of the day, I stumbled into Emmanuel, not knowing whether it was a college or not, because it kind of looks more like a museum. And then I found out about it. I found out they had free laundry, which was definitely a plus. Found out they've got this I think they're actually demolishing it now and making a new one, but they had this very tacky, like blue and white nautical themed plasticky bar, which I loved. And also I found out it was opposite Nando's. So I'm quite done. I'm going to apply to this one. And then I went there and had, you know, I had hard times there, but also great times. So I'm very thankful.
And what did you study there, Shanyu?
I studied natural sciences, specializing in pathology, which is quite funny this year because everyone has become an epidemiologist. I really enjoyed that. I'm currently doing a little online course in glaze chemistry, so understanding kind of how to get all the different types of glazes and get all the different colors and make sure the glazes are functional. So I think that kind of helps. But I did a module in chemistry my first year at Cambridge, and I got 43, which is not a good mark. So I'm trying to redeem myself now.
And I imagine being in Cambridge, for people of an artistic temperament, it is very beautiful and inspiring, the lights and the buildings and the river and the bridges.
Yeah, absolutely. I think now I appreciate it more than when I was there, because when I was there, I was honestly so trudged down with so much work. I had lectures on Saturdays as well for 3 years. But now when I go back, I appreciate it a lot, and I just see all the beauty, and I just love going for walks there. It's just so idyllic.
And I know it's been filmed, so you know who won, and you're not allowed to tell us. And I don't want to know anyway, because I want to go on the journey as well. But for the person who wins, and if that is you or somebody else, what does it mean to win this competition?
I think it's amazing to win this competition, because all of us, we're kind of... we're home potters, you know, we don't do it full time professionally. So it just gives that validation, like, you know, you're doing a good job and you could probably have a future in this if you wanted to. And I think that is the same for all of us, because we've all gained so much confidence from the show and also learned so many new techniques that we wouldn't have necessarily tried before. For example, next week is Naked Raku, which is like, you fire the pot and then you stick like hair and wood and basically any kind of combustible on it. But you wouldn't, not everyone can do that because it's quite smoky, you know, you might not have the space and you don't have the raccoon kiln. So I think even if you don't win, which most of the potters don't win, most of us don't win, obviously, it's still a great learning curve and learning experience.
And you've really inspired people as well. I think a lot of people have, after watching this show, thought, you know, actually, I want to take this up. And of course, it's difficult at the moment. But some people might think it's actually difficult anyway with pottery because you need a kiln and you need the clay. Is it an easy thing to do at home, or do you need to do it as part of a group or a class?
Yeah. Well, what I would recommend if you wanted to try pottery and you wanted to try throwing as well as hand building, so that's using the wheel, is to take a local class. And obviously right now it might not be possible, because that'll just kind of teach you all of the techniques and you can figure out what you like. But right now you can also do hand building at home. So you can buy a bag of clay or air dry clay and you can just kind of play around. You can coil, you can make fantastic things with hand building. For example, all the buildings that we did in week two were hand built. And all the things we did as well were hand built. So you can try that at home. And air dry clay, you can paint and varnish. And then also if you use normal clay, often you might be able to find a local potter or a local studio that will be happy to fire your things for you.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Shania. Well, good luck and the rest of your Pottery Throwdown journey. It's on Channel 4 Sundays at 7.45. And as you say, you're running your own business now. You're a full-time ceramicist at supperceramics.com. That must be, when you love something so much, to be able to do it for a living, that must be an absolute joy.
Yeah, so I don't do it full-time. I do it part-time, and I've been doing... So I used to work in consulting, and then I went on sabbatical for a couple of years because I wanted to spend more time doing ceramics. So now I model and do ceramics. And I used to model before. I didn't just start. So it's kind of great to balance both at the same time.